Aloha.
Aloha.
For those of you in the sanctuary and those of you online, we want to welcome you to Calvary Chapel Kaneohe. Pastor JD will be back in the pulpit this Thursday, July 7th. He'll continue teaching through the book of Jeremiah, and he's finishing up a well-deserved rest, so please keep him in prayer. We have two services on Sunday, 8:30 and 10:45. We meet on Thursdays for our midweek Bible study at 7 o'clock. The first Tuesday of each month, we meet for all church prayer. We'll meet this Tuesday here in the sanctuary at 7 p.m. Please join us. Today, we have a very special guest speaker with us, pastor and teacher Billy Crone. Pastor Billy Crone currently serves as senior pastor at Sunrise Baptist Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. He's also the officer, director, and pastor of Get a Life Ministries. And through Get a Life Ministries, he's produced and shared hundreds of thousands of Christian teachings. Like Pastor JD, he loves to study and he loves to teach Bible prophecy. He's married to his lovely wife, Brandy. They have two wonderful children, Rebecca and Billy. And it's with my great pleasure and honor that I introduce to you pastor and teacher, Billy Crone. Let's give him a warm welcome.
Awesome. Thank you, Pastor. Awesome. God bless.
And two wiener dogs, Brewster and Booper. That's right. Got to throw that in there. How many guys have been married for a while? Okay, that's good. Let's close in prayer. That was kind of freaky. But no, that's not a bad thing, I don't think. You know. But anyway, how many guys learned this? You know somebody's been married for a while when they got a picture of their wiener dog on their phone, not their wife. You know what I'm saying? It's a little perk. You got to make it to the 25-year mark. But anyway, that's right. But good to see you guys. We got a lot of ground to cover. And again, a short time to get there. Sounds like a country song, but I'm not country and I'm not singing. And if you were here, how many guys are here for the first service? Wow, praise God. A lot of you guys, thanks for coming back. I feel sad for you. But anyway, that's right. No, the last service we dealt with what? We dealt with the importance, the purpose of the rapture for the saved and the unsaved. This one, we're going to be dealing with the reward of the rapture. But once again, just want to encourage you, if you haven't been, if you're not familiar with our ministry, one of our main channels, we got a ton of different channels on our YouTube. We do our live broadcast just like you guys do. The Billy Crone account there on YouTube. You can certainly subscribe. But again, we live in America, spelled with a K. And so, unfortunately, they hack and slice and dice and delete. And so, we have everything on our teaching website, getalifemedia.com, including books, DVDs, documentaries, the whole nine yards. We're just trying to get God's word out as fast as we can. We don't copyright our material. So, if you do get the material, including the DVDs, make a billion copies. We don't care. Let's get God's word out there. Amen. So, you want to encourage you to do that. Also, for those of you on the fly, and you can download the Billy Crone app. And for free, and that basically unlocks the whole thing. You can watch all kinds of studies for the last 11 years. You know, those preachers, they just keep going on and on. I tell you what, but anyway, so hey, but that's right. We are here to talk about what? The reward of the rapture. And again, last time we dealt with the aspect of the importance of it, the purpose for the saved and unsaved. Okay, but even as the saved, we go, yeah, I believe in the rapture, and, you know, and that's great. It's the blessed hope, looking forward to it, but we kind of stop there. And some of the ways that I know that we kind of stop there is because I look at our countenances. Have you ever noticed that? Right? You know, people sit there and say, I'm a Christian, but it's not like, I am a Christian. It's I'm a Christian. And it looks like, man, what have you been eating? Pickles and prunes, sour lemons? What's your diet consist of? It's like, that's not a really good advertisement. I'm a Christian. It makes it look like it's a chore. It's just so tough being a Christian. Right? Well, it's not a good advertisement. You know, it's, hey, yeah, right? And I'm telling you, if you understand the reward at the rapture, all that Christ has won for us. Yes, praise God, he saved us from eternal damnation to hell. That should keep a smile on your face. But folks, I'm telling you, we forget he saved us for so much more. It's the future. And it, bang, it all starts at the rapture. Nobody can take it away. And I'm telling you, if you really get that today, then you're going to walk out of here and you're going to have to pay somebody $5 to slap that smile off, right? And you're going to be a positive advertisement for Jesus. So let's talk about that. But let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you so much for today. We thank you for the privilege to be encouraged in your truth. And certainly as we now take a look at our future, that nobody can take away. You tell us in your word, God, that it's kept in heaven for you. That means nobody can rip it off. They can't take it away. And so it's safe, it's secure, because it's all done. It's finished, just like we just sung. It's finished through the cross of Jesus Christ. He did all the work. And it's just a wonderful gift for you that lasts forever and ever. So open our hearts and our minds, God. Help us to do what you tell us to do. Get your mind off this earth. Get your mind on things above. Oh, we're not saved for this messed up version of the earth down here. We're saved for the world to come. What a day that's going to be, and it all begins at the rapture. So God, if we're not, we just not really being a good advertisement for Jesus, just lumping around with our face, God, please put that smile back on today. It should be there for every day if we really get what you've done for us. And as always, God, if there's anybody here that's not truly born again, that's not saved, would you please save them before it's too late? As we saw, especially last service, this is not a joke. They don't want to be left behind. And so, God, please have mercy on them and say, may they join us in this incredible future that you won for we, the church, your bride. And we ask your blessings upon this study even now. We ask all this in your wonderful name, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Hey, that's right. Once again, the reward of the rapture. You guys have sung that song before, probably, right? But have you looked at people in the church today? They sing it this way. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And then, of course, the next line, where? Right? Because I don't see it in you. What's going on? What is going on with the church today, right? It's just like, what happened to being excited for Jesus? Aren't you saved? And he said, what's going on? And again, I think because, again, it's a lack of Bible prophecy. Nearly one-third of the Bible deals with prophecy, okay? And dare I say, how could you be a faithful shepherd if you skip nearly one-third? If I was up here, I actually did this as an illustration once when I was speaking in Australia, and they freaked out. But I says, if I got up here and I took one-third of this Bible and I went, rip, and act like I was ripping it. I says, but if I did that and said, and threw it behind me, and I says, I love you as your shepherd, but you'll never get that from me. Because that's what you're doing when you say, we don't do that here. There's other things to teach on. We're not going to, what? I didn't say you got to teach on it every week, but come on. That's one-third of the Bible. You got to teach the whole counsel of God. But I'm convinced that a lot of people, that's why their countenances are so messed up. Right? That's why they're apathetic. I tell pastors all the time, hey, you want to get your congregation all fired up for Jesus? Yeah, 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 yeah. Hey, you want to get them so they evangelize like never before? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Right? And you want to get them just totally excited and motivated, and they're going to serve and do all this stuff, and you don't have to twist their arm or nothing. Yeah, yeah, what is it? And they expect some big giant program, some cookie cutter method that you pay $19.99, right, from the denominational headquarters. And it's, no, just preach prophecy. Because when you preach prophecy, yeah, it's, you talk about a lot of the 7-year tribulation. You don't want to go there, but we know we're not going there as Christians. But keep reading. It tells you about the future that Christ has won for us, the reward. And folks, oh, I think it's the missing antidote. Many Christians act like this is the only world to come. No wonder you're in the dumps and your face looks like it. Come on, it's reward time. And so we're going to talk about that and hopefully don't put that thing back on your face, okay? But the first reward, folks, is this. We're going to heaven, right? And last time I checked, when the rapture happens, I'm sure you guys know this, but when the rapture happens, we get instantly translated in the twinkling of an eye to that 13th aisle at Walmart, and Jesus starts handing out $50 gift certificates. Yeah, yeah, are you kidding me? No, we go to heaven. Last time I checked, heaven's way better than that. As cool as that might be, lower prices every day. But let's take a look at that. Believe it or not, what is that going to be like? The instant it says in the twinkling of an eye, bang, we saw that last study. What's it going to be like? Man, folks, this place is awesome. And nobody can take it away. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, trusting in Him and Him alone, His death on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins, you're going to what we're about ready to read. This is amazing. Revelation 21. Let's go ahead and stand as we read God's holy word. Revelation 21. Okay. And if you find the tables of weights and measures, what do you do? You take a left. You're at the back end there, right? So, but anyway, Revelation 21, we're going to read verses just simply 1-4, right? What's it going to be like, right? Then I saw what? A new heaven and a new earth. Why? Because the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Listen, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And then I heard this loud voice from the throne saying, now, the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them, and they will be His people. Listen, God Himself will be with them and be their God. Listen, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There's not going to be any more death or mourning or crying or pain. Why? Because the old order of things has passed away. You may be seated if you can. But folks, this is the first reward we give. When we experience the rapture as a born-again Christian, we are going to heaven. Heaven is so awesome, and your first clue that this is an amazing existence is he says it's going to be decked out like a bridal dress, right? And as we all know, ladies, when it was time to get married, you're very pragmatic just to get the job done, right? Hey, Mom, you got some curtains I can borrow? I'm just going to wrap a plastic hefty bag around me and get the job done. Are you kidding me? What'd you do? You shop for that special dress, and it wasn't just any dress. It was a one-time awesome. It was decked out with all these studs and jewels and that because it was a one. That's how heaven is for you and I. God has spared no expenses. In fact, the word there in the Greek, adorned, is cosmeto, where we get cosmetics. God's got this place made up. Awesome. It's going to be incredible. The instant, 2 Corinthians 5:8 said, absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. And the rapture says, in the twinkling of an eye, all of a sudden we're in here in this garbage can. By the way, Jesus is preparing a place for us, right? John 14, which is a rapture passage, right? Right? He's been preparing that place for us for 2,000 years. Right now, listen, this place, the reason why I keep calling it a garbage can, because as beautiful as it is, even here in Hawaii and all that stuff, do you realize this is the messed up version of the planet after the worldwide flood? Think about that. This is the messed up planet. This ain't like what it used to be. This is the messed up version. We still find beauty and, wow, look at that sunset. Look at that crag and the mountains and the ocean, all that stuff. But listen, God made this planet, and this is the messed up version after he had to judge it because of sin. He made it in 6 days. Jesus Christ has been working on our bridal chamber for 2,000 years. It's going to be decked out. It's going to be awesome. I'm sorry to ruin you guys' day with this news. Let's sing that song again. I got the joy. Are you kidding me, man? This place is awesome, right? This is the first reward, right? And again, that's your first clue. It's going to be amazing. He likens it unto a bridal dress. But if you keep studying the Bible, which for some strange reason I highly recommend, you're going to see all kinds of characteristics of this place called heaven, man. It's totally decked out, right? And this is what we see. It's the dwelling place of God, right? No more invisible stuff. We get to see him face to face, man. It's going to be awesome. It's the dwelling place of his holy angels. It's a heavenly country, not like the messed up version we're dealing with. Hello, right? A heavenly country, right? It's a holy place. No sin whatsoever. It's an eternal paradise. You get there, you don't get kicked out. Anybody glad about that? It's not just for a weekend. And it's an eternal paradise, right? It's also a place where the streets are made of gold. Everybody's running crazy. The rat race. Oh, and you're going crazy. I ain't got time for God. I ain't got to do this. I'm going to run for what? For what we get to walk on in heaven. Think about that for a second. How the enemy's twisted around. The place where the streets are made of gold. The place where the gates are made of actual pearls. A place where the foundations of precious gems, right? That's concrete in heaven. It's precious gems. It's amazing, right? A place of eternal rest and never stops. A place of eternal joy. A place without wickedness. It's a place without darkness. It's a place without sin. Think about that. No bad day. No bad relationship. No bad thought. No bad experience. Nothing bad. Sin's gone. Woo! Including the people around you. You're actually going to get along. Can you believe that? What a concept, right? Hey, a place without tears. It's going to be a place without mourning. It's going to be a place without pain. It's going to be a place without death. It's a place of absolute purity. It's a place filled with the glory of God. And again, it's an everlasting place. It just keeps going on and on and on and on. Even that Energizer Bunny is going to be a wimp. It's just forever. It's going to be awesome, folks. And we're just getting started, right? Okay, but then that's just the surroundings. That's decked out like a bridal dress. The concrete, the streets are made of gold and precious gems. It's amazing. No sin. Nothing's bad. It's all gone forever and ever and ever. And you're just getting started. And then God says, watch this. I'm not just going to give you the beautiful bridal-like surroundings all decked out. I'm going to give you a brand new body, right? To handle those surroundings, right? Now, I didn't say that. God did. Watch this. Now, some of you young whippersnappers don't get this, right? But the older you get, right? Have you guys noticed that? It's like the older you get, your face starts to slide off. It's like, what happened to that? I know gravity's real, but you didn't have to show it on my face. But hey, let's move on. All right, 1 Corinthians 15, right? Rapture passage again. What's he say? Paul, I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed. Bang, in the flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised, what? Imperishable, and we will be changed. So we not only go to be with Jesus at the right hand of the Father in heaven, in that place that we just described that's all completely decked out, but we get brand new bodies at the same time to enjoy that. Without that sin nature thing, right? And think about what that word imperishable bodies mean. Let's break it down. That means your body, listen, will never die. It won't rot. It won't decay. It won't break down. It won't even age. You're not going to have any more, yeah, praise God. You won't have any more back aches, no more broken bones, no more broken toes, no more diseases. Ladies, no more anti-aging creams, right? Your body will not, it won't wear down. You're not going to have any wrinkles and crinkles and age spots, none of that stuff. No more facelifts, tummy tucks, liposuctions. Oh, God! Yeah, praise God. And then, listen, you'll never, ever, 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 forever, never have this conversation with your friends again. Like these people, watch this. There's this group of Florida senior citizens, right? And they're sitting around, they're talking about their ailments, right? And then one person says, oh man, my arms are so weak, I could hardly lift this cup of coffee. And another one says, yeah, I know. My cataracts are getting so bad, I can't even see my coffee. And then the person with the loudest voice in the group says, yeah, well, it's gotten where I can't hear nothing anymore. And then the fourth person nods weakly in agreement and says, I know what you mean. I can't turn my head, but the arthritis in my neck. And another one says, well, that's nothing. My blood pressure pills, they make me all dizzy. And another person said, well, you think that's bad? I can't even remember what I'm doing half the time. If I don't make myself a note, I forget what I'm doing in the first place. And then the old wise person in the group, they wince and shake their heads and said, yeah, I guess that's the price we get for getting old. And then there was this short moment of silence, and this woman cheerfully pipes up and announces, well, I guess it's not all that bad. Thank goodness we can all still drive. Turn to somebody and say, get off the road. Think about that. We ain't going to have those kind of conversations again. Because that's not the bodies we're going to have. They're going to be imperishable. Which means, listen, no more will you wake up and go to the breakfast table and you hear snap, crackle, and pop and discover you ain't eating cereal. That's you making that noise. No more will you sit in a rocking chair and you can't even get the thing going. Right? No more will you and your teeth not sleep together anymore. Right? Right? No more will you wake up looking like your driver's license picture, right? Listen, no more will your knees buckle, but your belt won't. Now, here's a whopper. No more will you have more hair on your ears and up your nose than what's on your head. What's up with that? Somebody needs to patent that, man, because I don't know if you notice this. It's kind of gross, but it's a guy thing, right? You wake up one morning, and there's like a six-foot nose hair going like, what? How did that happen? Put it on the head. What do you know? How do I... We ain't going to have to deal with that anymore, right? In fact, no more, listen, will people call you at 9 p.m. and say, oh, I'm sorry, did I wake you up? Right, you know, so, and no more, listen, will you look for your glasses for a half an hour before you realize, what? They're on your head the whole time. You won't need glasses, you won't have memory problems, and we're just getting started. And it happens, bang, at the rapture. And I'm sorry I had to tell you all this. Let's sing that song again. John, are you starting to get it? Have we forgotten what Christ has won for us? Oh, and we're still not done. I love God. He's so cool. It's like he's like the ultimate gentleman, right? Like the ultimate, just as much as what we just saw from the scripture about heaven, as cool as that is, it keeps getting better. And basically God says, you know what? As cool as that is, and he's given us sufficient knowledge to get excited about heaven, but he hasn't told us everything. And that's what I see here. Watch this. 1 Corinthians 2:9. This is cool. This is what the scriptures mean when they say, watch this, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind. You can't even imagine what God has prepared for what? For those who love him. And basically God is saying, listen, as cool as it is, what I've already told you, there's some things that I've got in heaven going on for you. Do you love them? And guess what? Your ear can't contain it right now. Your eyes can't really understand it now. Your brain can't even conceive. I can try to describe it. You won't get it until you get there. But see, I'm a guy, and we got to try to figure things out. Right? So let's try to look at what this passage means. What's God trying to say to us? What's heaven going to be like? Eye, ears. Just imagine, and this is what the scripture says, we lose the sin nature. What will it be like to have a perfect body without sin nature? And what has it got to do with this text? Well, one guy breaks it down. Let's take a look at that.
This is the electromagnetic spectrum. This contains all the different wavelengths, radio waves, microwaves, including a small piece called light. Now, your eyeball can see the colors, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet. That's all. The spectrum goes forever in both directions beyond that. Suppose we get to heaven, and God gives us new eyes that can see the entire spectrum. That means there'll be brand new colors. Trillions of them. Not new shades of these colors. Brand new colors. That's why heaven has to be so large. It's for the women's closets. My wife is going to say, honey, does this go with this? I said, dear, I couldn't figure it out back on Earth. She has to number my ties to go with my suits. It's not that I'm colorblind. It's that I don't know what goes with what. Secondly, I don't care. I just want to get dressed. Lay it out, would you? Anybody else feel that way about it? Say, don't tell me about it. Just put it together for me, please. Can you imagine if we get new eyes that can see the whole spectrum, you're going to be able to see the sounds coming off the piano. Right now, we can only hear them. Imagine seeing the sounds. What if we get new ears that can hear the whole spectrum? You're going to be able to hear the colors. Wow. Or smell them. Yellow. Or taste them. Green. Wow. We've only got 5 senses, folks. Maybe there's more. But if God just took these 5 and expanded them to the max, we would spend forever walking around heaven going, wow, wow. Have you smelled that? Come here, lick that. Wow.
No eye has seen. No ear has heard. You can't even imagine in your current state what God has prepared for those who love Him. Isn't that awesome? This is our first reward at the rapture. The rapture is called the blessed hope. It's not the blessed torment. It's not the bad news. It's the blessed hope. It's best case scenario. This is the first thing we get rewarded with. We deserve, myself included, to die and go straight to hell. I got rescued from that, but then I get this on top? I'm sorry, I did it again, guys. You're just kidding. You're going to leave here so bummed out, depressed. I tell you what, I don't know what's going on. We better just wrap. No, let's keep going because it gets even better. Nobody has a brighter future than we, the church. That's just the first reward. The second one is I'm going to the millennium. And it's really strange. It's like, you know, the scripture says, again, keep your mind on things above and on this earth. You know what? How I know that Christians are not doing that is because look at your countenance. That's all you think about is this earth. You keep your mind on things above, like we just talked about. You get excited. But so we don't think about that. We don't think about heaven, right? But listen, do you realize that we're not just going to be in heaven? We get to come back to the planet. You realize that, right? And how many times do you hear people say, well, okay, Pastor, really, heaven sounds pretty cool, but almost like I shouldn't say this, but isn't it going to get kind of boring? I mean, after 2 weeks of floating on that cloud and strumming that harp, and then here comes another Christian on his cloud, and we say aloha, and I keep, an hour later, here comes another Christian. Isn't that going to get kind of boring? You've heard those people, right? It's like, no, are you kidding me? We just saw what it's going to be like. It's going to be incredible. You're not going to be, right? Okay, but listen, most Christians don't realize, listen, we're coming back. We're coming back to the planet, but it's going to be renovated to Garden of Eden-like conditions. It's going to be awesome. And the first thing that makes it so cool in the millennium is Satan gets shut up. Right? This is going to be awesome, right? I didn't say it, God did, right? For 1,000 years, Revelation 21-4, and I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil, or Satan, and bound him, what? For 1,000 years. Now, I got to kick this every time I see it. Listen, Satan, he gets the church to do 2 things wrongly. One, he gets us to de-emphasize him and act like he doesn't exist. Here's the current stat. 65% of professing Christians, churches today, do not believe in a literal devil. No wonder he's having a heyday. Right? Or then he goes to the other extreme and he gets us to give him way more attention than he deserves, way more power. Yeah, you don't want to mess with him, right? But again, compared to God, and we belong to God, he's not even the hair on the back of a flea compared to God, right? And here's my point. You want to know how? How many angels from God did it take to bind Satan? 1. Don't want to mess with him, but at the same time, he's a little pipsqueak compared to God. And we belong to God. That's why Jesus said, the scripture says, be greater is he that's in me than he in this world. But listen, here's what he did for the millennial kingdom. He threw the man to the abyss and he locked him and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. Now break down that verse. We're coming back to the plan.
It's going to be Garden of Eden-like conditions. I'll get to that in a second. But the first cool thing about the millennial kingdom is Satan is bound during that whole time, which means all the junk, all the rottenness, all the evil that he incites today, all the leftover baloney evil that we're dealing with today, all the rottenness, it's gone. You're never going to have to deal with it the whole time for 1,000 years. Woo! It's awesome, right? And then you're just getting started. You read the scripture, which again, I highly recommend, right? You'll come up other characteristics of the millennial kingdom. It's going to be amazing, folks, right? The government will be a theocracy with Jesus Christ, Messiah, ruling and reigning as king over the whole planet in Jerusalem. I'll get to that in more detail in a second. Then you're going to see the 12 disciples will rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. There's going to be other smaller subdivisions of authority awarded for faithfulness. That's you and I, the church. Judges will be raised up to demonstrate the theocratic power of Christ to rule with inflexible righteousness and justice. Again, I'll get to that in a second. War is going to be a relic of the past, not at all in the millennial kingdom. Jerusalem, right now known for war, bloodshed, international tensions, will at last become the city of peace and the capital of the whole world. There will be religious peace with Jews and Gentiles worshiping the Lord together, okay, on the whole planet. There's going to be a just economy for everyone. No longer will wealth be monopolized by only a few privileged families like the Gates and the Musks and the Zuckerbergs and all these guys. None of that stuff's going to be there. It's going to be abundant. Listen, nature will cooperate with man again, like the Garden of Eden. Productivity will return. You're never going to have any earthquakes, tornadoes, floods. All that's going to be gone. Okay, and work will no longer be in vain. The people in that time frame will not be doomed to misfortune. Work will continue on in the millennium because God designed work as a source of provision. But in the millennium, work will yield multiple gains, much more than what we need for survival, which means there'll be enough resources for nice vacations, leisure, and fun. And you could actually go through the drive-thru and get add cheese, right? It's going to be a great time. Have you ever been that poor where you went to the drive-thru and you couldn't afford add cheese? Forget about bacon. That's way out of there. Okay, apparently I was the only one, right? But at that point. But it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a super abundant time, right? So put that together. So you got Satan's bound during the whole time. Woohoo! The planet is just going to be an amazing, super abundance. No more catastrophes, all that stuff. It's going to be lush. It's going to be great. Garden of Eden-like conditions. And then let me give you another thing. It's going to have a righteous government. Now stop right there, because your first inclination was like, whoa, righteous government. Isn't that one of those oxymorons? You know, like icy hot, peaceful war, yummy chicken. There's no such thing, right? It's like, what do you mean righteous government, right? But folks, I'm not making this up. Jesus Christ is coming back and he's taking charge of the planet and us with him. I didn't say it. It's a prophecy from Isaiah about the millennial kingdom. How many times have we read this verse, sung it even during Christmas, we don't realize he's talking about the millennium, right? Here it is, Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the what? The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. Now, the key word there is government. And again, he's talking about not here now. He's talking about the government in the millennial kingdom when Jesus Christ comes back, us with him, at the end of the 7-year tribulation, Revelation 19, and sets this up. Jesus Christ is going to be in charge of the government. Isn't that awesome? Right? And again, sometimes we hesitate with this because we think, well, I get it. Jesus, he's the lamb who was sacrificed to take away our sins. And that's true. Or we say, hey, Jesus, he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. He defeats our enemies. And that's true. But the Bible says Jesus Christ is coming back, watch this, to be the divine political ruler. All two of you appreciate that. So let's break it down, right? So that means, listen, Jesus Christ, when he comes back, it's going to be amazing. No more are we going to have to deal with all the junk that we see from governments and politics today and politicians. It's all gone. And that's going to be a big relief because, let's be honest, folks, let's break it down. We all know politics comes from two words. Poly, meaning many, and ticks, blood-sucking creatures. Right? So to think of Jesus involved in the government, we go like, whoa, wait a second, right? You know, it gets a bad rap because they're so horrible and rotten, okay? But listen, this is what Isaiah says here about the government of Jesus, okay? He says wonderful. It's actually the Hebrew word pele, and it means this, not just wonderful. It's wonderful, but it's wonderful. It's astonishing. It's extraordinary. Literally in the Hebrew, a marvel. And so Isaiah says when Jesus Christ comes back, us with him, and when he takes charge of the planet, the government, the whole thing. Listen, it's going to be the most wonderful, astounding, extraordinary, marvelous government you could ever imagine. Why? Because he's the wonderful counselor. And that means Jesus Christ only tells the truth, unlike what we deal with now. You can't bribe him. You can't go against him. You can't make him do anything wrong. He only does that which is right and just every single time. No more chicanery, none of that stuff. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the wonderful counselor. Listen, that means his time in office will be what's best for the people every single time. Which means, listen, there's not ever going to be another election. Ever. Nobody is running against Jesus. Ever. Which means, that means no more election campaigns, no more of those commercials, no more of those signs on the road. Can you take it down? That was 6 months ago, right? No more the hanging chads. Remember that baloney? The government of... Listen, and all this New World Order stuff that's unfolding before our eyes, Jesus Christ is going to whoop, he's going to roll it up just like that and slam it in the trash can and rule the planet. It's going to be awesome. And again, I'm sorry I had to share that with you today. It's a rough word. But let us close with that wonderful song, I've Got the Joy, Joy, Joy. The Millennium. Do you get this? We're coming back, man. Right? So get this out of your head. As cool as that is, we're coming back. Satan's going to be bound the whole time. Garden of Eden-like conditions. Productivity. Nothing short. You can add cheese, add bacon, do whatever you want. You're going to have all kinds of stuff. It's going to be amazing. And Jesus Christ, we the church get to rule and reign with him. A just government is coming. And then I got to share this one because I'm really personally looking forward to this. We're going to have peace with nature. Right? Peace with nature. Now, I don't know if you guys noticed this or not, but as beautiful as this island is, you got these two-legged demon things running around everywhere. It's like, who started that trend? All right, you call them chickens all you want, right? But anyway. Peace with nature, right? Right now, right, we went to the aquarium down the deal, right? I thought, okay, that's a pretty big-looking, seal-looking thing, but probably wouldn't want to get in the water with it, you know? Might kind of squish me or eat me, or the snapping turtle, that big giant turtle. I don't think I want to put my fingers in there unless I pull them out like that, you know? You know, I mean, just lions and things, and that's, you know, that's why you put them in zoos. One day in the millennium, no more of that. It'll be just like the Garden of Eden. Animals were vegetarian back then. Adam named them. There was peace with nature. That means you could have a pet animal. I'm looking forward to pet hippos because it reminds me of a larger version of my plump wiener dog. That's my rationale, and I'm sticking to it. But no, seriously, I encourage you. I'm going to bring out the text in a second. I'm not making this up. I encourage you, as a born-again Christian, we are headed for this. So pick out what animals you'd like to have as, like, pets. I got one prophecy teacher, I kid you not, he's dead serious, too. He wants pet lions. And he says, I'm going to put them on my front porch, one on the left, one on the right. And he's already picked out their names, Leo and Cleo. Bring it home, folks. This is what we're headed for. Again, this is two chapters later. Isaiah chapter 11 talks about this in the millennial kingdom. Isaiah 11, 6 through 9. The wolf will live with the lamb. Stop right there. If you put a wolf and a lamb in the same cage, what would happen? It rhymes with lamb chops, right? So obviously, this is not here now. This is in the future, but this is what peace is coming back with the animal kingdom. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. What? And the cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will what? Eat straw like an ox. Go back to being vegetarian. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra. The young child will put his hand in the viper's nest. 9/11, 9/11. Nope. They'll be perfectly fine. And they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as it waters cover the sea. The Bible says in the millennial kingdom, on top of everything else we just talked about, Satan bound, lush, government, and incredible conditions, it's awesome, that the whole planet is going to be basically domesticated Africa. Even the leopard will be tamed like a goat. All animals will be tamed, not just my vicious wiener dogs. All animals will be tamed. Okay, now you're thinking like, wait a second, is this to be taken literally? Like, a kid's going to be leading them around and They can stick their hand in a viper's nest and it, you know, tickles or something, apparently. Really? Yes, literally. In fact, I think sometimes God in his mercy shows us how it was supposed to be before it got messed up in the garden with sin, but how he's going to make it again right in the millennial kingdom. I think he gives us little teasers of this peace with nature here and now. Watch this. This is cool.
It's not exactly the partner you'd expect a primate to fall for, but an unusual love story has been forged between Surya, the 6-year-old orangutan, and a stray hound dog named Roscoe. For these logic-defying friends, it's all hugs and cuddles since the day they met 3 years ago when Surya spotted the dog from high atop an elephant while on a ride with his trainers at this South Carolina animal park.
To me, they seem like long-lost friends.
This other, more whimsical partnership between predator and prey has been seen on YouTube some 5 million times. A cat and a bird that shouldn't get along, playing hide and seek, even wrestling. Two of nature's enemies frolicking like fast friends. From the hippo and the tortoise who sidle up next to each other, so many of these relationships are hard to explain.
How's this for a unique animal friendship? 350-pound lion Bone Digger is best friends with a fearless 7-year-old dachshund dog named Milo. They may seem like unlikely friends, but Jericho the horse is perfectly happy to let this baboon laze on his back while they both soak up the sun. It may look like this dog's days are over as a jaguar appears to go in for the kill. But things aren't always what they seem. In fact, this unusual pair are actually best friends.
These two struck it off straight away.
And now this feline-canine combo are inseparable.
They don't leave each other. They feed together, sleep together, do everything together. 24 hours a day, they haven't been separated at all. They are like brothers.
Sean Ellis from Devon in England has integrated himself into a pack of wild wolves.
The pack itself began when the wolves in particular were only a few days of age. I still consider myself to be part of that family.
Okay.
Like millions of people around the world, Mark Dumas loves nothing more than to take a morning swim. But for him, there is a rather massive difference as Mark swims with a polar bear.
Having pet cats may sound run-of-the-mill, but Janice Haley has taken her love of felines to the extreme, keeping two huge tigers in her back garden. Sabre, a 600-pound male white Bengal, and Janda, a 400-pound Bengal female, have lived with Janice since they were cubs. With their ability to crunch through human bone in a single bite, getting up close and personal with a 1,300-pound grizzly bear is not for the faint-hearted. But for 71-year-old Doug Zeus, coming face-to-face with the fearsome predators is all in a day's work.
Start up. Good. That's good. Up. Good.
This pairing, researchers say, is one of the strangest animal bonds ever seen. A lioness who, instead of eating her dinner, adopts it.
I think many people felt that this was, you know, had to be a message from God. This was a miracle. This was, you know, the lion and the lamb laying down together.
This is a true story. It's about a lion named Christian. Okay, there were two men who adopted the lion, Ace Berg and John Rendell, and they bought the lion from Harrods Department Store. Who knows that they, you know, who thought they sold cubs? And in 1969, and the little cub weighed 35 pounds. A year later, the little cub had grown, and he weighed 185 pounds. Mm-hmm. This is a love story, a true love story. Take a look.
Man and beast. Like to treat you kind.
and I wish you joy and happiness. But above all this, I wish you love.
The whole planet is going to be like that. The wolf, the lamb, the leopard, the goat, the calf, the lion, the cow, the bear, the cobra, all of nature, all will lie down together. Little children could lead them. And I'm just so sorry I had to share this with you today. I mean, on top of inflation, now this, come on! Are you starting to get it? And then we walk around like, did you just swallow down a pound of prunes? Did you eat a big jar of sour pickles? And you're a Christian. Have you forgot what Christ has won for us? Yes, praise God, he saved me from eternal damnation and hell. We all deserve to go, myself included. 1980s ex-headbanger, drug addict, sexual war, male shameless pig guy involved in the occult and new age. I hated Christians. I hated Christianity. God had mercy on me. Yes, thank you, God, for saving me from hell. But Jesus saved us for all of this too. Isn't that amazing? This is the second reward after the rapture. It's real. One guy says this, under the direction of Jesus Christ, the resurrected believers of the church will provide the leadership necessary to create a just society for mankind. Listen, the greatest adventure we could ever imagine awaits for us in the reality of the kingdom of Christ. I can't wait to get there. And it starts at the rapture, which could happen today just like that. And nobody can take it away. But then let's close with this one, because this is the third one. And frankly, for me personally, this is the one I look forward to the most. We get to see Jesus. Yes. All right? No more invisible stuff. What did Jesus tell his disciples? He says, yeah, I'm glad you believe. But blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. That's us. We haven't seen him, but we believe and we love him. And dare I say, don't you hope to do that one day? Yes. Right? When you start talking about the return of Jesus Christ visibly coming back to this planet, you should be busting loose in praise, man. And the reason why is because all of heaven is. Revelation 19 is about the return of Jesus Christ. And they're going nuts. Listen to this praise service about the visible return of Jesus Christ. Revelation 19, 1 through 9. Watch this. After this, I heard what sounded like a roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his judgments. He's condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her in the blood of his servants. And again they shouted, hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. Then the 24 elders, you and I, and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who was seated on the throne. And they cried out, amen! amen, hallelujah. And then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both small and great. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, like the loud peals of thunder shouting, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice, be glad, and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, the bride has made herself ready. The angel said, right, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. In other words, you can bank on it. When you start talking about the visible return of Jesus Christ to the planet, all of heaven goes loose. This is amazing praise service. What are they saying? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, give him glory. Why? Because when Jesus Christ comes back, he's coming back with us, and he's going to put down all, once for good, all the evil and the suffering and the oppression and all the baloney that we're dealing with today. It's gone forevermore. And then he's going to throw us the greatest wedding party of all time, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we get to see him face to face. No more of this invisible stuff. The one who saved us, rescued us from the dominion of darkness. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. And he's going to throw us an amazing wedding party. It's amazing. He's the ultimate awesome king. In fact, one guy, he puts it this way. Watch this. He said, the Bible says my king is a seven-way king. He's the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. He's my king. Do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that's ever crossed this horizon of this world. He is God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He is unique. He's unparalleled and he's unprecedented. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in higher criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the miracle of the age. He is, yes, he is the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. Do you know him? He supplies strength for the weak. He's available to the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes. He saves, he strengthens, he sustains, he guards, he guides, he heals the sick, he cleanses the lepers, he forgives sinners, he discharges debtors, he delivers the captives, he defends the feeble, he blesses the young, he serves the unfortunate, he regards the aged, he rewards the diligent, he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? My king is the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring to wisdom. He's the doorway to deliverance, the pathway to peace. He's the roadway to righteousness, the highway to holiness, and the gateway to glory. His office is manifold, his promise is sure, his light is matchless, his goodness is limitless, his mercy is everlasting, his reign is righteous, his yoke is easy, but his burden is life. I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off your hands. And you can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Death couldn't handle him. The grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. That's my king. He's got the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you know him? This is why the rapture is called the blessed hope. It's a scary time. It's reward time. I'm not only saved from the penalty of my sin, what I certainly deserve, namely hell. But then it gives me heaven on top. With a new body. No more problems. No more sin. No more guilt. No more shame. No more pain. No more trials. No more tears. No more wickedness ever to have to deal with. And then I come back to the planet and I'm rewarded with the millennial kingdom where I get to have those pet hippos if I wanted. I get peace with nature, awesome living surroundings, productivity, Garden of Eden-like conditions, and I get to serve with Jesus and rule and reign across the planet in a righteous government. And then I get to see the one who did it all for me, Jesus, face to face. And it begins at the rapture. And so as we close, if you're here today and you're not saved, what are you waiting for? You should be concerned about hell because it's real. But there's so much more. God loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his one and only son. And he allowed him to die on the cross, which was the death penalty of the day, you know. He allowed him to die on the cross to take our punishment for what we've done, our sins against a holy and righteous God. And the Bible says, if you believe on that, on the work of the Lord Jesus, if you confess him as Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. What are you waiting for? It's not just escaping from hell. It's all this on top. Why would you run from that? Why would you hesitate? Please get saved today. Join us at reward time. But if you're here today, you've been sitting a while, go ahead and stand up. I haven't done this in a while. I'm just going to do this. All right? A lot of people, you know, today, I'm not like anti-exercise or anti if you want to eat healthy or whatever. You know, but some people, they get so overly focused on, like, somehow you're going to cheat destiny. We're born on time, we're going to die on time. We get to skip that death part if we experience the rapture, which could happen. That's good. So I'm not like a health nut, but at the same time, if you want to, that's fine. But this is one exercise that I can recommend every day, three times a day. And I can guarantee if you really, truly do this, it will improve your time here on earth drastically. Right? And simply this, just repeat after me, just do this. Right? That's called rapture practice. You may be seated. Yeah, okay. Do that three times a day, man, when you first get up. Woohoo! Steal away at lunch, right? Lunchtime, just in case you forgot. Woohoo! Right? And before you go to bed, hey, don't forget. Woohoo! And guess what? You remember all that we talked about biblically, and what I said at the beginning comes true. You have to pay somebody to slap that smile off. Do you realize what we're headed for? Awesome. Awesome. I can't wait. And so let's bless ourselves as we close. We know the rapture is imminent. It can happen today. There's nothing, it's imminent. What if, and we don't know this, but what if the rapture was in play, if you will, right now? What if Jesus was on the backside of Jupiter headed this way with the angels? He could be, right? Maybe it would look something like this, and everything we just talked about kicks in the gear. Watch this.
I hear a sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpets, Gabriel sounds the call at the midnight drive. We'll be going home when Jesus steps out on the cloud to call his children. The dead in Christ shall rise to meet him in the air. And then when my Jesus steps
We're going home, church. Today could be that day. Let's show the lost around us that we believe it. And let's get busy leading them to Jesus. Nothing else matters. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you again for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us the future that you've won for us through Jesus, purely as an act of your goodness and mercy and grace. It's just mind-blowing. And we thank you that it's safe and secure, kept in heaven for us. Never spoil, never perish, never fade. It's guaranteed, all because of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and his death, his sacrifice on the cross for us. We thank you for that. And again, God, we just pray that what time we have left, only you know, we pray that we would be busy about your business. There's no more important business than you, our Father's business. And there's nothing more thrilling and exciting than leading a lost soul to you so that they could join us in this future. May that be how you find us. And God, one last time, if there's anybody still not truly born again, please save them. May it go from their head to their heart. May they finally get it, why it's called good news. And surrender all to you, Jesus, and truly be saved before it's too late. We ask and pray all these things in your wonderful name, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.